Three, two, one, go.
Try it of the Fours podcast, the podcast from three Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. This is season three, episode nine, and today we will be talking about the, in my opinion, surprisingly good first episode of Moon Knight, which is not that departed from Star Wars because the main character is the one and the only and amazing Oscar Isaac.
Space Pappy.
I mean, it's Star Wars, Dune, and Moon Knight, like Space Pappy.
Oh, yeah, it's right. You're right. You're very right.
We live in the garden of his turbulence. We live in the days of Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal. This is everything else is just a parking lot. It is exciting times.
But just remember to like and subscribe and comment and let us know what you think about the show, because, you know, maybe you hated it. We would like to know that. Yes. But anyway, before we dive into the episode, Goose has an announcement.
We have a very special announcement. This channel will now be kind of doing unboxings. That is the announcement. I have finally caved, and after months and months of saying I will never be that nerd that has a lightsaber. I have become that nerd that has a lightsaber. I saw the Hasbro Black Series Force FX Rey lightsaber. I have purchased it. Whoever knows how much it is, you don't have to tell anyone how much it is. I'm an adult. I have a job.
Is it embarrassingly expensive?
It's embarrassingly expensive, I believe. But what's the point? Like, what's the point of working if you don't get the things you want for yourself? And I did it.
You don't get to spend money on toys.
Here it is. For everyone that's listening, I apologize, but I am showcasing Rey's Black Series FX lightsaber from Hasbro. It is a thing of beauty. I was not expecting this.
Look at that girth.
Look at that girl. Oh, yeah.
It looks thick.
It looks dangerous, what it looks like. You have to know how to wield it.
Ray knows how to wield it, you know.
She spent a lot of time alone in the desert, so she knows, she has to know a thing or two. So it's sturdy. It feels good in the hands. I wasn't expecting the weight. The girth, I expected it. We saw the movie, so we know what to expect in terms of that. But the weight, it's not fake. It's not fake. Yeah.
That's how you know it's real.
Right. It's made of metal. It's made of metal. The craftsmanship is amazing. It's got some really nice weathering details that, you know, make it look like, you know, it's been through hell. Like, obviously.
Very cool.
The whatchamacallit? The rib.
It has race color.
Yeah.
But are you ready for the good stuff? Here's the good stuff. It's when you ignite it. Everyone remembers the movie when she ignites it. It changes a couple of colors before finally turning Rey's iconic gold or yellow, whatever you want to call it. And guess what this one does? It does the same thing. Who knew that this was going to do it? And who knew I would feel like a 12-year-old kid again, like feeling like a Jedi with this thing.
Come on, give us some sound effects.
You want the sound effects? Like, there's a cute little button here that if you press it, it's like you're deflecting a couple of bolts. If you hit it, it, you know, it does the clashing thing. If you keep it pressed, it has like this little like a lighting effect, like if you're clashing sabers. I don't know if you can see it because of the webcam.
Very cool.
But you can hear it too.
Like if you,
like Rey and Kylo are having like a rough night and they're clashing, that's the sound.
Like, that's the sound.
That's the sound.
But it's a thing of beauty. And that was our announcement. That's it. Sorry to disappoint everyone. We thought that we were going to talk about anything exciting. But no, I digress. This is going to be like Steve Jobs. Just one more thing. We are so thrilled. And like, we can't even believe that we're saying that
these words
are coming out of our mouths and that we're announcing this. anyone that follows us on the Twitterverse and Instagram already knows, because we couldn't contain ourselves and we had to make a post about it. But the Triad of the Force, not only does it have three people watching it from home, which are only our parents, now we will have three more people who might be our parents who bought tickets to go to Celebration. Watch us at Star Wars Celebration on the podcast stage. We have been selected to participate officially as a podcaster at Star Wars Celebration. That's insane. I can't believe
that is.
It's insane. I mean, it is insane. I still can't believe it.
It's just like we've gone, the circle is now complete. You know, we started,
we can retire,
at a Star Wars Celebration saying we wanted to be podcasters. And now we're coming back to a Star Wars Celebration as podcasters.
It's a, I didn't think about it that way, but that's exactly how it happened. All those years ago, down in Orlando. When was it? 2017? 2015?
The seedling, the baby seeds.
That was the baby seeds. The triad was born in a fashion in Star Wars Celebration, and it shall become a ginormous beast at another Star Wars Celebration. First on the East Coast, and now on the West Coast. So we're taking over this, the continental U.S.
And then the world.
And then the world. Watch out, yeah. Like all you four countries that are listening. No. It's going to become all countries, except maybe Russia and Belarus. You know why.
Yeah, you know why. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Maybe they need to listen to this type of podcast.
On pirate radio.
On the pirate radios.
we'll be banned by Putin
at some point. So
exactly. We sent like our application like a month ago, not thinking that much was going to come from it, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, all three people listening, there's a lot more podcasts out there. It's not just ours. So we were like, we're a small fish in a very, very big pond. So we thought, you know, that we're not going to do it, but we would have been remiss if we hadn't applied for it. Have some Puerto Rican representation, some Hispanic representation. We always talk about it. So it's just like, let's be active and being part of that representation that we want. So we sent our application, and now we are going to be part of that representation, bringing everything from our small 100 by 35 mile island all the way to California. For all you Star Wars nerds, get ready. We're coming, and we're gonna bring the goods. So,
and we're loud.
And we'll be loud. Yeah, I hope the sound mixing guy
is prepared. Yeah.
Because he'll need to like adjust those levels. It's equalized. we'll have more to say about it, obviously, as we get closer to the date for guests and whatnot that we're gonna have and topics. So stay tuned, because we are officially sanctioned by Star Wars. I guess.
Who knew?
No way.
It would happen.
So all those episodes saying like, hey, Dave Filoni, hey, Kathleen Kennedy, hey, Jon Favreau, if you're listening. Kind of true. They kind of are.
Maybe kind not.
Of. Maybe they're secretaries. Yeah.
Maybe.
Nerd maybe. Dreams coming true all around. That's what it is.
Yes. Beautiful.
I know.
All coming together.
Yeah.
Speaking of nerd dreams, we got some new Marvel stuff that came out.
Yes. We would not be a Star Wars Plus podcast if we didn't talk about other things in addition to Star Wars, and as everyone knows, we've been talking about all the MCU shows, or most of the MCU shows. We did not cover Hawkeye. Sorry, Jeremy Renner. we would be remiss if we did not talk about the space pappy of all space pappies, the man himself, Oscar Isaac, as Moon Knight. And we're a week late. Apologies. Life happens. But we're here to talk about that first episode. And what a first episode it is. I think there's some mixed reactions. Based on our pre episode conversation, so why don't we start with Nani, so we can like start balancing, so we can do like a compliment sandwich. We'll go Nani, then Mo, then me,
and do that. And now you know where everybody stands.
Nani, what did you think? Were you looking forward to the show? Did you have expectations? How were you coming into it, and like how did you feel leaving it?
The only expectation that I have for it is that I've always been a fan of both Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke, and finding out that they were going to be in it, I was mildly excited, you know, that they were going to be doing this, mildly, because to be completely honest, nerds, please don't kill me. I had never heard of Moon Knight in the entirety of my life. So
same.
Yeah. So I had no idea.
It's good to admit that's a good thing.
Yeah. So yeah. I didn't know anything about this character. Yeah. So when the show was announced, I had no idea what to expect. What type of show it was going to be, what type of character Moon Knight is. I'd heard some rumors that, you know, he had mental health issues, but that's about all I knew about the character. I didn't know anything else. So zero expectations. And then I start watching the show. And first of all, any show that starts with a Bob Dylan song, I'm already kind of sold right there.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about the soundtrack already. So thanks
yeah, for the soundtrack was amazing. So I was like, they started with a Bob Dylan song? Okay. Starting to get my attention already. And then you have that weird scene with Ethan Hawke, like putting glass on his shoes. And I was like, what is this weird thing? What am I seeing? And it hooked me in pretty fast. And I was at attention the whole time. And it just kept building and getting better. And there was like real tension throughout. Like I already said, the soundtrack was really complimentary to what was happening in very weird ways that we can get into that later too. Mm-hmm. And because I know nothing about the character, so maybe people hate it because it's a bad interpretation of the character, I wouldn't know. But because I know nothing about the character, I'm really enjoying the whole mystery of figuring out what's actually going on, and the use of mirrors and glass and reflections and everything really caught my attention. And by the end of it, when you finally get the reveal of the hero, because then they hold it until that very last scene when you first see Moon Knight, was like, cut to black. Holy shit, that was good. And I remember as I was watching it, because the acting was also really, really good. I was watching with Husbando, obviously. I was like, is it late? Too late at night or something? But is this like actually good? He's like, no, I'm agreeing with you. This is actually good. So we were both really excited by the end of it. Okay, I'm really looking forward to the rest of it from now on. So that was my initial reaction. I really enjoyed it.
Mo, you seem to have more of a lukewarm reaction, for lack of a better word.
I think Nani hit on like the few, like the things that were like so intriguing about it, like the soundtrack, the play with the mirrors, the play with like water, sand. There's like a lot of there's a lot of like allusions to like the grounding of the feet. And that's I'm gonna say that I think that's gonna be very important, especially if it's a character that's mentally unstable. I think grounding is one of the best techniques that. So the fact that there was so much focus on the feet at the beginning, was very interesting in that aspect.
Oh, that's good because both start walking on glass and sand. I mean, what is glass? Yeah. It's sand, right? So
it's bones.
Boom! Loved it. Mobius strips all over again.
And I was just intrigued by the whole concept of it. It's just like, to me, like the execution just seemed like wonky. That's the word that comes to mind. Wonky. That there's all of this like if you're gonna do something that's based on like just real like mythological Egyptian lore, like go into it, like don't skirm,
go full
don't
weird
be afraid. Don't be afraid. Like you're already you're push the boundaries, like invite the mystery in. And I think that was part, like the mystery was there, it's just didn't
you
feel like
more.
It was like I wanted to be pulled into that madness, and I just didn't felt like I was being pulled into the character's madness. It was more like I was just spectating the character's madness. And then, you know, that could be more like that's just my craving. I always enjoy the those delusions and characters that go through mental barriers, but that's what it felt. It felt like more like, you know, they're just skirming the topics and trying to like, oh, we're gonna pull you in. But it felt like if it was like a magic show instead of like real magic.
Yeah, but I think that we could actually get more of that, because we were supposed to be spectators in this episode, because Steven, that one personality that he has, because clearly he was at least two personalities, he's a spectator there, so he's figuring things out now. So I actually really enjoyed the fact that we start with I black out. I don't know whatever happens. I have to restrain myself because I have no idea what I do. I have to force myself to constantly stay awake to slowly discovering what actually happens when he goes to sleep. And we see those implications from that point of view. So I think we're going to get more from Mark, the personality's point of view, and how all the madness started. And hopefully if they do it in a way that's really bringing in the madness, that it's just going to get even better.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I mean, I did enjoy the show a lot. I didn't know what to expect from it, except quality. You know, at this point, like, I think I've stopped assuming that, oh, well, this is gonna be the first Marvel crappy show. Because even like even Ant-Man or Hawkeye, which at least to me, sorry for fans of both of those movies and shows, those are like the Marvel's weakest, you know, the weakest output so far in terms of like the media that they've put out in the MCU. And even then, it's still enjoyable, still entertaining, still good. It's not bad by any means. I think the only categorically bad thing Marvel has done is like the Inhumans, which no one saw on ABC, and then Iron Fist, which no one saw either.
Even it was terrible.
I unfortunately saw that.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was terrible. That was actively terrible.
I did, and I just went around Iron Fist. So like at this point, it's Marvel. Kevin Feige knows what he's doing, and it's, you know, it's Disney Plus. So far it's been good stuff, and having Oscar Isaac on it only heightened my interest in it, because #representation matter, #spacepappies. Oscar Isaac, you know, he's a god among men, god among people. I mean, I think everyone
should be included in the comparison.
Everyone is in love with Oscar Isaac. I'm sorry if you say you're not, you're wrong.
You're lying.
You just have to get it.
And you're
lying
to get in
touch.
Yourself.
You have to get in touch with your Oscar Isaac sexuality to acknowledge it.
Space poppy sexuality.
So, but I did enjoy the show, and one of the reasons that I did really enjoy it a lot was because of the whole mythical aspect about it. Because as opposed to like Iron Man and Captain America, I mean, Thor is based on Norse mythology, but it's like a hyper real mythology, so it's not based so much, you know, it's mythology adjacent to an extent, right? Thor, but all the other heroes are modern myths, you know, modern heroes, and the new monomyth of American heroes. And one of the things that I really liked about Moon Knight so far is that it's actually going into Egyptian myth and actually tying into like that ancientness of it, instead of being like myth adjacent like Thor. It's rooted in that myth and that oldness of it, right? Not, I said oldness so I don't have to repeat ancient again. I do agree, Mo, that they didn't go into it as hard as they could have. However, I think that was a purposeful decision, because like he's discovering it, right? He's like figuring out what the hell's happening. But that whole sequence, like at the end when the Egyptian god thing with the beak just shows up, I'm like, what the hell is happening here? So I want to see more
which
of
was
that for sure.
Gorgeously shot that, by the way.
Yeah,
because you get one of the things that I really enjoyed about the show is that you get so many different aspects of entertainment from it, because you get the mystery, you get the myth, you get action sequences. That car chase was fantastic.
Interesting. Okay.
And
I'll get to the car chase.
Okay. And
the cupcake, and the cupcake car. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
That's
what you're saying, but we'll get to it.
Well, I wasn't paying that much attention to the actual car. I was just very much enjoying that they used Wham to soundtrack that entire car chase, which I thought was fantastic. I was actively singing along like an idiot. But and then you get really awesome like hallway scary movie shots that are done really well. And then you don't show which is what I think is the mistake of modern day horror movies, that you see the bad guy completely from the beginning. So it loses that edge of mystery. And the fact that we see like through the lighting and through the movements, we don't really get to see what it is, and you know, kind of jump scares and just well-timed suspense. And the entire of the episode, you feel an actual sense of tension. Like you don't really know what's going to happen to our main character. And I think that's a flaw in a lot of our superhero stuff, is that there's no stakes, really. You kind of assume everybody's going to be fine, you know, until Marvel literally killed everybody off, but you still knew they were going to come right back. So, you know, you always assume it's hard to pull off real tension. And I think in this case, they were actually able to pull it off. So that to me was impressive, but we'll see how it goes moving forward.
No, I agree. And I agree with everything. The only thing that I felt was actually wonky was that cupcake chase car chase sequence. Not because it was bad. I think and maybe it's because I like VFX and CGI and stuff like that. So I really try to pay attention to that stuff. It looks like Mo disappeared. Oh, Mo's power has left. So unfortunately, Mo will not join us for the rest of the episode. So.
We shall continue.
That's Puerto Rico. That's Puerto Rico for you. as I was saying, so those are things that I really pick up on and distract me a lot. And for me, that whole sequence when he's traveled to, where is he? Amsterdam, Sweden?
He's in the Europe. Alps somewhere. Yeah,
it's just a lot of that. Those scenes really felt like CGI. And it really took me out of the moment. And it wasn't, because obviously a lot of these scenes and a lot of these shows are
CGI, the one guy jumping onto it looked CGI, and then the logs looked really CGI.
And it's not like in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where that first episode they had the whole skydiving sequence, and obviously that's all CGI, but that was good, you know, it was convincing. And here in Moon Knight, that whole sequence, at least to me, threw me off, because you could feel that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And when that kind of happens, that kind of takes me out of it. Yeah. Not to say that that ruins the show to me, because I do think it ends on a super high note, even though it's a downer, right? With the steak thing. But for me, that was kind of the perfect way to end the show. It's just, you start establishing this character. He says he's vegan, blah, 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 blah. Then you see all the personalities. Then you see that he gets stood up, right, for the date or whatever it is that happens. And then he eats the steak. And then he orders it well done. You just see a broken person, which I was.
It's so sad to just watch how he orders. Even the waiter he understands that this person doesn't know how to order a steak. To actively see him struggling, what cut of steak? How do you want it? The best. The best part, and the acting. I mean, Oscar Isaac was amazing the whole way through. I know we're saying so much that we love him, Space Poppy, whatever, but. This was a different Oscar Isaac. I mean, when he first starts speaking in that British accent, he sounds so unlike himself. I was so confused at first. I was like, wow.
Did you think it was good? I thought it was great.
Yeah. I thought it was great. But I mean, I don't know anything about British accents. So, but.
True.
But I thought
there are bad ones, like Keanu Reeves in.
That's really
Dracula. Oh, that is categorically bad.
Keanu Reeves is a vampire. And a god, but he should not attempt.
He should not be doing accents.
No, he should not attempt any accents ever. He's just monotone. That's the way he speaks. You accept
surfer.
It.
You're a surfer guy.
You accept it. But I thought it was good. And the fact is, and it's interesting because it happens because I watch a lot of K-dramas and stuff like that, how people's voice and pitch changes depending on what language you're speaking and the accent. So it was really, he sounds really weird. And then when, you know, the Mark personality comes off and has an American accent, you can, the tone of voice, everything changes, which I thought was really good. But Oscar Isaac portrayed this character, that constant exhaustion, because he's forcing himself to stay awake. You can see it in every line of his body, how he moves, how he walks, how he speaks, the constant confusion and fear of not knowing what's going on. And I feel that's very evocative, you know, of what happens with mental health when sometimes you're not actually aware of what's happening. And it's that confusion. You don't even know who you are. You don't understand yourself. That has to be the most terrifying thing on the planet. Forcing yourself to stay awake because you have no idea what you're going to do when you fall asleep. And it was really, really well portrayed by Oscar Isaac. So I was, from the beginning, I was like, wow, I've always thought he was a good actor, but right now I'm blown away.
Yeah, and definitely want to see more of him. But speaking of good actors,
Ethan Hawke.
You know who else surprised me a lot is Ethan Hawke. I mean, we all know Ethan Hawke's a good actor, whatever. And the thing is, I never would have expected Ethan Hawke in an MCU project, to be honest.
I would have never expected
to see him here. in this role is just perfect, because I think he's just doing it so well, like to do this like a savior religious zealot persona. Yeah. It just does it so well, like this calm, cool, and collected character, you know, calculating and methodical, who like knows, no, he's three steps ahead of you, but he's not, you know, but he's not telling anyone what's happening. He just does it. I am really enthralled by his character, especially with what you said, Nani, with his introduction, right? With the broken glass and walking on, and then walking on the cane and the, you know, and the little
weight. The tattoo.
Tattoo. I'm just like,
the scales of justice.
Everything in the show is working.
The cane as like an aid to walk, but also the pendulum to decide your fate. There's some really good details to that. And the fact that he's, like you said, he's always just like cool, calm. Even if things are going against him, he's just like chill because I'm in control here. And there's something fantastically creepy about him. Just like in the way he smiles and the looks and everything. It's just so subtle, but it's so creepy. So I'm obviously waiting to see how this plays out, but we might get an actively good Marvel villain in this show through Ethan Hawke.
Which we know they have been few and far between. We've had
Loki, obviously, but I tend Thanos, to classify Loki as an anti hero.
Well, Thanos now was great. Because he's had his journey, now, oh my God, I forgot. Killmonger was great.
Killmonger was great too. But they kind of ruined Killmonger a little bit there at the end. I feel. A little bit.
Well, he changed the hero's mind. So I think ultimately Killmonger was right, and he changed the Black Panther's mind. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows? It's the MCU. He can come back.
And who knows? Thanos, obviously. But
yeah, they've been lacking. They've been we'll see if the, oh my God, I forgot his name. The new big bad we just saw in Loki. He Who Remains.
He Who Remains, yeah.
But he has another name. I forgot it. Sorry, nerds. But I'll remember at some point. Hopefully he proves to be like a worthy successor of Marvel main villains. There's one thing though about the show that I'm not so quite sure about, because one of the things that was, I don't know if advertised is the right term, but that has been hyped up about it, so this is going to be like a darker show than we're used to for Disney Plus, and it's going to be closer to all the Netflix shows, and I'm like, okay, because the Netflix stuff is
that stuff is dark,
and so like, you know, so when you compare something to that, I got expectations. And that show didn't, I mean, Moon Knight did not come to Netflix levels of darkness. So that's something, I don't know if it's going to build up to that at some point, or if it's still going to have the Disney wash of it to keep it
hard
PG-13 instead of a...
I think it's going to be really hard to come up to Jessica Jones, Daredevil... level of darkness in a Disney Plus show.
I don't think they want to. I think Disney wants to kind of keep their, you know, I think they want to push it, but I don't think they want to get to that ever again, because it's Disney.
And it's a different direction. So, and it would have to be weighed also, I think, with how dark of a character Moon Knight is, which I don't know.
I see what you did there.
So I don't know how dark this character is, because it was very appropriate for characters like Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all those guys to be this kind of heavier Marvel hero that doesn't really fit into your massive cinematic view, because you won't appeal to all audiences. So it would have to be
fine, I think.
Of course it's fine. You don't have to appeal to all audiences.
Right.
But with Moon Knight, because I am not familiar with the actual character, I wouldn't really know. But considering that we already know he has multiple personalities, probably possessed by an Egyptian god, and is a mercenary, epic Egyptian god, and is a mercenary, we can assume that it's a pretty dark character. And Mo, welcome back.
Power in Puerto Rico.
So we were just talking about how this show might compare to the darker Netflix versions of superheroes like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and
and how Daredevil? We think it's not gonna get there,
and it's not gonna. I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. No,
even though Disney Plus added all the shows, so
yeah, but you have to change your setting to mature.
It's okay. I'm an adult. I bought a lightsaber. I can change my parental controls.
Do we know what the show is rated? Because that would make a difference if we knew what it was rated.
And then it doesn't seem any more than PG-13 so far.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Right.
But I uninstalled Disney Plus from my phone, so I cannot check immediately.
Okay. And there's also an argument that just because you make something look dark, it's not actually dark, and you make something bright, it isn't dark, because WandaVision was a very bright show,
dark. Yeah.
And it touches on some very dark, deep psychological themes, and just because it's pretty doesn't mean it isn't dark. Right.
It doesn't have to be the Crow to be dark. It doesn't have to be bloody F-bombs and darkness.
Yeah.
The darkness. A darkness within. Yeah, so.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Scary type of darkness.
Yeah, so like, unfortunately, right, this episode is coming out when the second episode, bless you, when the second episode of Moon Knight will come out. So we'll have to wait and see, like, if we're gonna keep doing like individual episodes for this, or if we're gonna group them together in the future, kind of like what we did for Falcon and Winter Soldier. But very definitely looking forward to more of Moon Knight and more of Oscar Isaac. And obviously,
it's supposed to be short. I think it's only like 6 episodes.
I think it's a limited series, yeah. So, like, I don't know what the goal is in terms of Moon Knight's inclusion in the MCU. I would think that you don't cast someone like
Ethan Hawke and Oscar Isaac play.
Ethan Hawke's a villain, so, like, I feel villains are disposable to an extent.
I'm okay with villains surviving. So am I.
Know if they're the villain? Like, again, this is a character that whose point of view we don't know. Moon Knight could be the villain, by all means.
Yeah, because so far
pull that, because he is, you know, hero in the comic books. We'll see. I'm okay with twists and turns.
But clearly, Moon Knight is, you know,
maybe one of the personalities. A mercenary is a villain.
Because Moon Knight looks like a mercenary, and apparently, Ethan Hawke's character. I'm sorry, nerds. I forgot his name. Is trying to save the world, obviously from his own point of view, the same as Thanos was trying to save the world by eliminating half of everybody, the universe, by eliminating half of the people from the
spoiler alert.
If you haven't watched it by now,
but indiscriminately, everybody, there was no
random. And this one character is supporting a god who actually weighs people's deeds. The problem obviously being is that they're judging future deeds too,
the minority report conundrum. Can you really judge something on something they haven't done yet? Because if you tell them that they're gonna do it and they don't do it, then how can you judge the deed?
Anyway, we're talking about, you know, a goddess that can actually see space-time continuum,
like. But this is like what's that movie with Morgan Freeman and what's his face from who played Professor X in the young X-Men movies? With Angelina Jolie with the gun.
The swing and shooting game thingy.
Wanted?
Like that movie where Morgan Freeman is supposed to see the future for the things in the fabric and the.
But then you start changing things to. But then he's
like, then he says exactly. So maybe
which could have happened with the goddess that she started
exactly. Using... Maybe she's just doing it to further her means, and it's not being like honest to the actual person's.
And I feel like we will get more about that mythology, because obviously, whatever god is possessing our character is one of those gods that originally imprisoned her, and there had to be reasons for it, not just that. Oh, she sees the future and she wants to punish early. There's some drama there, clearly, between the gods. There's always dramas between the gods.
There's always drama.
Always.
Because these gods are never godly. They're always very human-like.
And they leave forever and they get bored. Yeah.
I wonder who made them.
Hmm. That's a discussion for a different episode. Maybe after Star Wars Celebration, that we don't get, you know, we don't get.
We talk about the mythologies and think about how like, they're presented in different cultures.
Like all the moms in Catholic school that get offended when you talk about God as a mythological being. We're gonna mm-hmm. avoid that conversation until after the convention.
Talking about it, I want to go to detention.
Yeah, that happens. But anyway, I think we have run our course for the episode. So final thoughts, what do we expect? I know we're uber excited about Star Wars Celebration and we can't contain ourselves, but we have to finish talking about Moon Knight.
I expect a shirtless scene from Oscar Isaac at some point.
Do you expect that, or do you want it, or is it both?
Both.
I think it's both. It's a little bit both. You know.
Both. Why not? He's a good looking man. He's a good looking man, and representing us in the best way he can. And you know, if he has to take off his shirt, God damn it, take off his shirt.
That what you have to do in the line of duty then.
Exactly. I want to see more mythological stuff, though.
So do I.
I want to see like more stuff with the gods and the personalities and like what it means with ancient Egypt and all that stuff. I want to see all that brought into like the modern world and what that means. So kind of turn into like a Hellboy a little bit when like they're bringing like all the creatures and it's like starts getting
weird. You go into fairy tales.
I don't know if this is that mm-hmm. type of show, but I'm in if they go in that direction. Yeah.
I'm always for as the weirder that you get, the better that you can get. And this show, like what Mo was saying and why Mo was upset that it wasn't as firm, is that you're mixing, which is really cool when it works. What's the show that you really love that I forget the name of, the Xavier Sons?
Full Metal.
God.
So, yeah, which it has a lot to do with mental health and stability.
Legion,
which is fantastic, and it's a trip and it's not for everybody, but it's good. But when you take a superhero that already has underlying issues to deal with, because all of them do, we've already talked about that, all the superheroes need therapy, but you combine the character Legion does but this show has the possibility to be amazing because you're combining a character who probably, I'm not sure, has DID, which is what would be called like multi-personality disorder, combined with one of those personalities is a mercenary probably possessed by an Egyptian god. I mean, you could take this in so many weird and amazing directions.
Yes,
and I'm always for make it weirder, make it better, make it more interesting, make it something else. If you're taking it away from like the main cinematic releases, you have a little bit more leeway, which obviously we saw with Loki and WandaVision especially. So I would want them to go that direction. Just freak me out, scare me. I don't know. Just, oh, and continue with the excellent soundtrack, because the soundtrack.
Yeah. On point.
Yeah.
What about you, Mo?
Looking forward to?
I want to see everything that we saw just weave together a little bit better. I feel like there's just too many, like it's not cohesive. If the one thing that does come to mind, and again this just like now just combining a bunch of like Marvel stuff and getting into weird territory, that this could be like prime intro, like way to introduce like the mutants from X-Men into the Marvel. Because you do have the Apocalypse and the Egyptian connection.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Yeah.
And so, it makes sense in terms of like timing, because we got Doctor Strange too, and it seems that Doctor Strange might have Professor X.
I can see that being the connection, like that can be in the trigger in this universe to bring back the X-Men or the mutants. But like Nani said, just get wonky with it, like even wonkier, like get crazy with it. Like take a, like you're already, if you're doing a character that has the ID, like you already did a character that has the ID, like look what worked from Legion.
Yeah.
Take shift it along, make it, and like plaster that mythology into it. So like, yeah, let's get weird. Let's see how it connects. I don't know if Marvel, it seems like Marvel these days just wants to connect everything, so it eventually will connect. So
well, and like Goose was saying, it is important actors that are brought in, so there is a high possibility that it'll connect. And obviously they're trying to build the new Marvel Cinematic Universe because they lost most of their big ball players, and if they lean toward the magic users more than the physical superheroes, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me some Wanda, give me some Doctor Strange, give me some Moon Knight, I'm good with that.
Give me the Strange and Monkey.
Oh yeah. Yeah, going to like all the double down on it instead of just skimming the surface. It's just like, let's just go boom.
Yeah.
Let's dive mm-hmm. into that pool and go into the deep zone.
Go to the deep end.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Yay. We're so excited about the lightsaber. Oh, even yeah. if Mo and I can't play with it, but we still like it.
Hasbro, if you want to send us some to review, Nani and
we will definitely. Full on review them. Yes. We will play with them. We will set something up and play with them. And yes.
Yeah. Post we'll need it. Three. We'll need three so that we can each have, you know, like individual reviews so that we're impartial.
Impartial. But thank you.
But I think with that, we're done, correct?
Yes. Until the next episode.
Until celebration.
Next episode of Moon Knight.
Yeah. Well, apologize that we've been a little bit inconsistent. I think we've said it before. I'm in law school and life happens. Sorry, it's my fault.
Life happens.
It also, as you saw today, Mo, electricity runs out in Puerto Rico all the time.
Oh, it happens. Time. Yep. It happens. More often than not, we've canceled a few shows just because we...
Yeah,
he has no power.
It happens, and we're reviewing this show a week late, but Puerto Rican time is always late, so you have to deal with that too. But
sometimes, I think, and this is something I think in general, as podcasters, we always try to like stay ahead and like watch everything on time so we can get our stuff out. But sometimes it's good to pump the brakes and just like take your time, because life passes us by, right? If we don't just like take our time and smell the roses and watch things on our own time and be able to digest
and actually appreciate it.
So sometimes it'll take a little longer, and that's good. So should you. Take your time. Don't rush. Watch things on your own time.
Yes.
Life lessons.
But always listen to the triad.
At your own pace.
Take your time watching all your shows, but always listen to us.
And on that note, we are the Triad of the Force. Find us anywhere that podcast can be found. Just search Triad of the Force and you'll find us on Twitter, YouTube, anywhere that podcast can be found, Instagram, Facebook, the Triad. And look forward to our appearance in Star Wars Celebration 2022. Ooh. A dream
if you weren't come sure, true. If you weren't sure about getting tickets, now's the time. We're going to be.
Do it.
Get your ticket.
Triad will be there live. So don't remember to like, subscribe, leave us some comments. We always love our opinions. And especially on Marvel stuff, we're not that knowledgeable. So you can totally criticize us on Marvel stuff, on anything even. But especially Marvel, because I'm pretty sure we are not that good. We are just fans. No.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yes, I am strictly, and with DC as well, with DC
and
Marvel, I'm strictly, TV and movie person. I do not read the comics, so I do not know.
But you can still be called a fan just because you enjoy it, not because this you know every single detail.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. It's all about loving what you love.
Plus, we've all read the Wikipedia, and that's more than
that's right.
It's most fans will do.
That's where it is. That's where the info is. No, it really is about just enjoying your media. And if other people criticize it because they don't think it's faithful enough or whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as it's media that you love at the end of the day. So with that, positivity, may the force be with you.